exactly. But this passage is Billy's praise on verse 3 that he had a song about being celebrated. 495.
Bow with me, please. Our dear, most wonderful, gracious, all-knowing, all-powerful Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time with humble hearts, grateful to be in your presence, knowing that you are hearing us, and knowing that we are saved by your Son Jesus and the sacrifice that he's made. Lord, we thank you so much for all you provide for us, not only to meet every one of our physical needs in abundance, but to fill us spiritually, to have us know you through your word, that we can learn more about you every day of our lives, in abundance as well. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us, that we might come together in the middle of this week to be with the brethren of like-minded faith, to learn more from you in this setting, in our Bible class, and to offer this short worship service in your name. Lord, we thank you for the connection we have to one another, for the church that you and your Son have established, that we might have unity and salvation. Lord, we ask that you be with us every moment of our lives, that we walk righteously, that we might never stray from your light, and that we might show it to everyone we meet in the world, that more by your mercy can come to know you and to be saved by your Son. Lord, we ask that you be with us and be with Brother Michael as he brings us a message this evening, that we might all benefit from it, that we might take it, apply it to our lives as we do with every aspect of your word, that we might be better fit to wear the name of Christian. Lord, please help us in our minds, in our studies, and in how we present you and your word to others. Lord, please help us in the seeds we plant. Allow those to grow and flourish and to have more come to see your light. Please grant us with opportunity to teach and to share our most wonderful salvation. Lord, we thank you for everything you do for us and how you continually are with us. And we ask that that never change. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. If you've listened to any kind of business talk show or anything about business, buzzwords or phrases going around today is the whole thing of work-life balance, especially in this post-COVID time that we're in now, this idea of work and life balance. It's hard to get somebody to come up with a good definition of exactly what that means. One podcast I listened to, the host said, it's just life. I mean, that's how life is. You balance everything in it, not just your work. That's just life in general is how it is. Well, another guest on a podcast that I've listened to heard it, I think really kind of makes sense. It's think of it more in mind of a galaxy, of a universe. You have a center, a sun that everything kind of revolves around. You got the planets, the bigger things. You got stars that are in that galaxy. And then you got things that sweep through, like comets that just kind of come in and out of orbit. And that kind of makes more sense to me, thinking of it that way. As things kind of come into focus, those are the things that you have to work on, and you have to balance where all those things are in your life. More importantly, what you have to think about is what's really at the center of that universe. You know, what is the thing that everything's revolving around? In Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon gives us some good counsel on a balanced life. Start reading verse 15. I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other. For he who fears God will escape them all. Wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 rulers of the city. And there is no just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Also, do not take to heart everything people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. For many times also your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. All this I have proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. And as for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly and even the foolishness and madness. And I found more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be trapped by her. Here's what I have found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason, which my soul shall seek, but I cannot find. One man among a thousand I have found, but a woman among all these I have not found. Truly, this only one I have found, that God may truly this only one, this only I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought at, but they have sought after out many schemes. So Solomon here, and he starts off, says, I've seen everything in my days of vanity. And as I know, when we studied this a long time back, we looked at how Solomon came to this. He lived it up. He did all these things that he searched out to find. Married 700 wives, 300 concubines. So, you know, he knows a little bit about women, so to speak. You know, he's during the time of his reign, it was said that Israel had as much gold that it became so common that it was like rocks on the ground. I mean, it was a rich nation. He had money to spend, and he spent it. He did all the things that he talked about in his search for what made man tick, what was that life. And in doing so, as we read here, he found some things out about balancing everything that he's trying, that he was living up, that he was doing. First couple of things to think about is, you know, do things in moderation. Excess in extremes can create problems on both ends of it. If you swing to the side of righteousness, don't always. He says the righteous don't always prosper. And the wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. So the righteous do suffer from time to time. Just look at Job. Look at the book of Job. His friends had it all wrong. They thought that he was a sinner and that he needed to repent of that, and that's why he was going through that. But that is completely the wrong thing. Job had the right idea that he had not done the things deserving what he was going through. He had not been evil. But in the end, Solomon tells us it'll be well with those who fear God. So we need to avoid the extremes of trying to be overly righteous, too righteous. A good way to think about that is becoming self-righteous. You know, we see this with the example of a lot of the Pharisees that we read about in Jesus' time. You know, they were the epitome of what they thought was righteousness. And the thing, their traditions, all the things that they did, they thought that was what was being righteous, and that's what they pursued. And as we've talked about several times, Jesus told them, you've neglected the weightier matters. You know, you do all this stuff. You were trying to be too righteous, overly righteous, that you forgot the main things of it, of what it means. Solomon also says, tells us to avoid the extremes of wickedness and foolishness. You know, let's go back and let's remember what we've already talked about in Romans. Shall we sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. That's not what Paul's telling the Romans, you know, to sin, just go about it. That grace is going to cover you. That's not what it's there for. We're to be righteous. Now, there are going to be times, you know, Paul tells the Romans this. Solomon mentions it here. There's not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. I mean, it happens. We don't need to be arrogant in that. We don't need to dwell in that. We need to understand where we are and to have that fear of God that brings us back to Him. By saying this, we learn the boundaries of where that extreme is. You know, being so, you know, trying to be so righteous and so wise and everything that we forget the weightier matters of the law, but we swing to the other side and we just become wicked and arrogance in our wicked. And, you know, we need to find that center and where that is, and that does revolve around God. We don't need to refrain, though, from seeking true righteousness and true wisdom. And that revolves around God. That's the most important part of our universe, is that center. And that needs to be God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Solomon continues on as well, you know, as we've looked inward to start with, now outward. You know, don't believe what everybody's saying about you. You know, when you hear, he talks about when you overhear a servant cursing you, you don't take it to heart, because he says you've done the same thing. You know, you've been in that same situation. You know what it's like. Those times come up. Don't take it to heart. Don't pay it much attention. Just kind of keep moving on. And then he also says that he's proved all this to by wisdom. He said, "I will be wise, but it was far from me." He, you know, again, let's remember, God, when God made him king over Israel, he granted him whatever he wanted to. He'd give him, you know, long life, strong armies. But what was the thing that Solomon asked for? He asked for wisdom to be over, to rule over God's people, to judge them as he would want them judged. And God was pleased with that answer and gave him that wisdom in addition to all the things that he could have asked for, to be a strong nation, to have a long life, to have riches. He gave him all those things. But even with what Solomon had with that wisdom, there were still things he couldn't find answers to. There were things that were far off that even he wouldn't be able to find. And he had to come to grips with that, had to come to that reality, that there's things out there that I'm not going to ever know the answer to. And we have to have that idea as well. We have to have that same thought process as well. There's things out there that God knows that's not meant for man to know. And we have to be okay with that. We have to have that in balance, to know that there are things out there that we're not going to know the answer to in this life. Again, as I said, you know, Solomon had he had experience with women, with wives. 700 wives, 300 concubines. And so he understands the idea about avoiding a wicked woman. But in the same vein, you have to look hard for good people to be around, to be with. Those that are going to be in your sphere, your universe. There are going to be those stars that are out there in your lives. Those are hard to find, and when you do find them, you need to hold on to them. Because those are going to be things that's going to help you keep life in balance. People that you can depend upon, people that you can talk to, people that have had experiences that you can glean experience from. Finding those things will help put all the other planets, all the other things in our life in the correct order. You know, as you go out from your center, you know, you worry about your family, you worry about providing for them, you keep kind of going out and keep everything in the right orbit. Just as we look at our universe now, think about the odds that Earth is in the perfect rotational distance from the sun to provide life. It's the only planet in our galaxy that's able to do that. It's perfectly balanced and perfectly aligned for that to happen. And that's how we have to think about our life. You know, we have to keep those things in line around our center, which should be God. So, as a way of encouragement this evening for us to just kind of think about, you know, what it should mean for the Christian for a work-life balance. And I'll use the air quotes around that. Our life needs to revolve around God. That should be the center of our universe. That should be the center of our galaxy. And then everything else will have its proper place in its proper orbit if we get that center right. We can't let the center be us, can't be ourselves, and let everything revolve around us. We need to revolve around God. So tonight, as a way of encouragement, if there's anything in your lives that has gotten that orbit out of proper alignment, and you would like to ask for the prayers of the congregation, now's the time to do that, to start working to get that back in alignment. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come forward and stand as we sing.
We have heard the joyful sound of Jesus.
some to you and some to me. But there's other times I come back home. The girl is going to be in the congregation here. Small as our number is tonight, seems very good. It's always lively. Appreciate it. Mike messed up very much. Last class. We've had some real spiritual thoughts tonight that should encourage us. Something to learn from. If you've got any questions about things, I know the gentleman who teaches brings these things or has been talking about that. But let's talk about this. Let's keep it in our minds to discuss the word and seek out the truth that's been revealed tonight. And when we hear the truth, it's laid to our heart. Do the men have anything else that should be announced?
That's all I'm going to share the problem. That's the word that you see that.
That's about all I've heard from soon. So far. And that's the impression this year. So let's take a look at those other students, make sure that the speakers might they're okay. I know Randy is well, Brandon should also expect to be back this Sunday. Then he'll be back this Saturday. They have seen the thing that we've written for the president that they're working with. All right, there's a
Sarah will be doing well.
And Sarah's.
Yeah.
Sarah's not doing well tonight. She's not able to come. She didn't make it work. She was bad. Let's pray for her. All right. Well, if nothing further to add, then we'll go to our Father in prayer. Look forward to meeting you in Sunday morning.
Let's pray. Our wonderful Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer with humility and understanding of how great you are and the power that you hold over us and over all the world. And we thank you for the word that you've given to us and the hope that is in it and that the comfort it gives us to know that you are in control and that you love us and want the best for us. Thank you for the ability you've given to us to come together and study your word and come to a better understanding of you so that we can have the promise of eternal life that is in your word as we strive to do what's best in your eyes. We ask that you help those who cannot join us, whether it be a physical or spiritual problem or whether they are just visiting away, that they may be able to come back and join us again so they can have the same encouragement that we have from being together. We ask that you help us to take the things we learn here and that we study here to take it and apply it to our own lives as we go about your work, as you guide us through our daily dealings. We thank you for sending your Son to die on that cross so that we can have the hope and the comfort and the promise of a life after. And it is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.